I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host,
all
Mike
right, good morning.
Madison.
Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 BYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. First hour, safe space for independent thinkers. Second hour is for anybody who wants to reclaim their health. Every Wednesday from 10 to 11 o'clock, we do Hump Day Health, natural health news you can use. And today we will have in with us Sunny Elmer. She is from Integrated Health and Wellness Clinic there in Ridgeland. We're going to talk about what they do and a little bit about what an integrative health approach is. Hopefully you'll tune into this show and check out their site, IAMWC. They are the kind of approach to medicine that I believe is the direction that we should be taking and everybody should be exploring, and that is a direction in looking for the root cause of what your problem is instead of just addressing symptoms with constant and endless medications. This is one of these groups in integrative medicine that looks to get to the root cause of things, so we're going to talk to Sunny Elmer next hour about all of the services that they offer and why that isn't an optimal approach to helping people reclaim their health. So we'll do that next hour. Quotes of the day leading into stories for today. And we've heard this before. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And there's another saying. Oh, hell no. Reuters is reporting that China has recorded the first human infection with the H3N8 strain of the bird flu. Country's health authority said on Tuesday, but said the risk of it spreading among people was low. So, you know, there's a lot of people in our society right now that have not been fooled once, not been fooled twice, but they're currently on about four or five times they've been tricked on this stuff. I got to tell you, my radar is up for any of these things. They have been selling this bird flu for quite a while, kind of behind the scenes for the last maybe 4 to 6 weeks. And now they're saying in China the first human case is recorded. Now, we'll see what the Chinese do about this. If we start seeing travel restrictions coming from China around bird flu, oh my gosh, I can't even imagine. Could they possibly pull this off again? My opinion is yes. Quote of the day by Eric Peters. He says, by no means is Rona Monomania, I guess this is his name for the COVID cult, by no means is Rona Monomania what is styled the pandemic over. It will never be over until it is repudiated to the roots of the thing. Until the lies used to create the thing are acknowledged to have been lies and those who use them to terrorize the population held to account. Amen, Eric Peters. This is not over until they are held to account for this. More on that in just a second. The headline yesterday was that Kamala Harris has gotten COVID. I'm sure she is supposedly, now I have my suspicions whether any of these people at the top would willingly be a part of an experiment that the little people are conducting right now, but I'm sure she would tell everybody that she is twice shot, at least once, possibly twice boosted, and now she's got COVID again. I did the statistics yesterday from the UK health ministry showing that the more heavily vaccinated you are, the more likely you are actually to catch COVID again. So maybe they actually did give her the shot. I don't think anybody has any appetite for her being president, so she may be expendable. Maybe they gave her the real thing. But this story was fairly interesting to me. You know, we've been moved from, well, not away from the shots. The shots are still being hawked out there. Everyone from Donald Trump to Anthony Fauci to Thomas Dobbs are out there telling you you need to get your shots and get your boosters and get your kids inoculated as well. But they've also moved us into the other profit center, which is the pills for the disease. And Pfizer, I believe, was the first out of the gate after they denied the efficacy of ivermectin hydroxychloroquine. Of course, they treated us to a new experimental experimental drug when it comes to COVID called Paxlovid. Well, yesterday I reported on how's the vaccination program coming, and I gave you the list of statistics that are showing it's not going well. How about this on Paxlovid, the Pfizer pill? Shortly after he served on a jury in March, Greg Crumley developed a sore throat and congestion. The retired molecular biologist took a rapid test on Saturday and saw a dark, thick line materialize, quote, wildly positive, unquote, for the coronavirus. Crumley, 71, contacted his doctor 2 days later. By the afternoon, friends had dropped off a course of Paxlovid, a five-day regimen of antiviral pills that aims to keep people from becoming seriously ill. The day he took his last dose, his symptoms were abating. He tested each of the next 3 days, all negative. Then, in the middle of a community Zoom meeting, he started feeling sick again. Crumley, who is vaccinated and boosted, and now he's got a course of Paxlovid in his system, thought it might be residual effects of his immune response to the virus, but the chills were more prolonged and unpleasant. He tested positive again. Crumley, like other patients who have experienced relapses after taking Paxlovid, is puzzled and concerned. On Twitter, physicians and patients alike are engaged in a real-time group brainstorm about what might be happening with scant evidence to work with. It is the latest twist and newest riddle in the pandemic, a reminder that 2 years in, the world is still on a learning curve with the coronavirus. No, they're still conducting tests on the humans, and apparently Paxlovid is probably going to be equally as ineffective and possibly as dangerous as the shots themselves. So another swing and a miss, Paxlovid, and this is not just this one guy. The story was not written about one man. They are finding a lot of people who have been taking this new Pfizer drug for coronavirus. Again, this guy is twice shot, once boosted, and on Paxlovid, and he is still getting COVID repeatedly. I think I might have had it. I never noticed it, but I've got some things going on with my sense of smell and all things associated with my nose that are just a little different than they were before, which is, according to my online research, probably signs that I had COVID at some point. But I had it once, didn't even notice it. This guy has had it multiple times and continues to get it after 3 shots and a Pfizer medication. What did Pfizer make off this guy? Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, this one guy, and all they're doing is prolonging this disease. Kamala Harris, at least twice shot, once boosted, at the very least, and she's got COVID as well. Why we're not talking about this, why doctors are not waking up to this is absolutely beyond me. Going to come back in a second. There's some encouraging news. We talk a lot in the conservative side about disappointment with the youth. I tell you, the youth, whatever the youth is today, is the fault of the parents that went before them. But there's some very good news with the younger generations from my perspective. We'll get to that story when we come back. Stick around. For all of the, I don't like to call it doom and gloom, I call it realism that's done on this show. I do want to be an optimist. That's difficult at times, but here's maybe a ray of hope. I loved the, this was clickbait to me, a story on the Boston Herald. The title of it is, Youth Voters Not Pleased by Either Party, According to a Harvard Poll. A research poll out of Harvard held several stark warnings for politicians. The youngest voting bloc in the country isn't the least bit impressed with either party's messaging, and they intend to vote about it. Quote, I'm not sure there's great news here for either party, for Democrats or Republicans. I don't think there's a lot to be happy about, quite honestly. That was what John Della Volpe, director of polling at the Harvard Kennedy School Institute of Politics, said during a virtual release of the polling data on Monday. They polled 2,024 adults under 30 across all 50 states. Biden certainly did not get any praise heaped upon him, and neither did the Republican Party. Quote, there is clearly growing disenchantment with the people and the politics of Washington, D.C. Now, I temper my enthusiasm with this, that maybe a generation will be raised to understand that politicians are not your friends. None of them, I repeat, none of them are your friends. They are there largely to get power and their own things done, not for you. I'm about to read a stack of headlines that show you exactly where we are right now. But at least the next generation is not separating into the two political party camps. I would love to see the monopoly on these two parties challenged, even if it's a Green Party and a Libertarian Party. I don't care. I don't care if there's an equal balance, four or five parties. I've got to get Stephen Utroska in here to talk about. He believes the Republican Party can be saved. I believe we need to have additional parties. And the Libertarian Party is about to change within the next couple of weeks. Libertarian Party itself, I've never been a big fan of because they've been a mess. But there are some pretty sane, pretty interesting people about to take over the Libertarian Party if the trends in the state conventions is any metric. And they're about to elect a bunch of Austrian economist-type people. These are the people that Republicans pretend to be, which is small, 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 limited government. No Federal Reserve printing a bunch of money. So this may be the time for libertarians to strike, because I tell you, it's not unpopular when I go one-on-one with somebody and they ask me about my politics and I say, I can't stand our political class, both parties. I never get any disagreement about that. People may say, yeah, well, I mean, the Democrats are really bad. Yeah, the Republicans aren't great, but the Democrats are really bad, or vice versa. But everybody has equal contempt for them, so this is a time for another party to pounce. Maybe they can capture the minds of some of the youth. Of course, we know that they may tilt rather left when they're young. This is the stack of headlines. This is what the youth are seeing out there. It's what I'm seeing, too. Here's my stack of headlines. I hadn't done one of these in a while. These were across several different spots on Drudge Report, but they're all kind of connected, in my opinion. List, these companies paid little to no taxes last year. You'll hear a lot of the Democrats, the Bernie Sanders, the Elizabeth Warrens, the AOCs come out and talk about these things. Yet these same politicians know that they're the reason that these companies pay no corporate income tax. Because these corporations control the politicians, and so the politicians rail about higher tax rates, and then they put in loopholes to let these kinds of things actually happen. Now, I think every dollar that's sent to Washington, D.C. is a dollar wasted. I'd rather see a company keep it, grow, expand, invest, than send it to the government. But the fix is in there. Headline after that is, do billionaires have too much money? I didn't click on any of these stories, but I can imagine a lot of people look at this and think the problem is that billionaires have so much money, we need to tax them, we need to take some of that money, give it to the government, and then spread it out among the people. The problem is that the government is who gave the billionaires their money in the first place, courtesy of anyone? Anyone? The Federal Reserve. World Bank says Ukraine war to cause biggest price shock in 50 years. And of course, we know that's the World Bank trying to cover up for the fact it's endless money printing across the Western world that is creating the price shocks. They're going to try to lay it at the feet of the Ukrainian war. Energy spike like 1970s. And the UN says humanity stuck in a spiral of self-destruction. No, we're in a spiral of self-delusion, refusing to acknowledge the cause of all of these problems. This was also interesting. I've been talking a little bit about the housing market, kind of dissecting what happens in a rising interest rate environment when it comes to housing. We have seen a red hot, not seen since 2006, 2007, housing market. People going to visit a house, realtors telling them, you got to get your bid in by the end of business today or it's going to be gone. And this has been happening. I've talked to a lot of people. They put a sign up in the yard and the next day the house is under contract. But now interest rates are rising. There's even a little bit of compression on that. You would think, well, as interest rates rise, then the housing market slows down. But that's actually not true when it first starts moving, because when people start seeing interest rates go up, they rush to lock in the rates they can get now. So everybody tries to buy a house before interest rates go up. I don't know about the long-term financial soundness of that plan, but that's what happens. So we've seen a red-hot housing market, but every increase by 1% in the interest rate people pay on a 30-year mortgage, I equate to about a 10% drop in the home's value if you adjust for what the payments someone can afford are. But now we're trying an old trick. I've talked a lot about this stuff. You know, when cars started getting too expensive, they took the 3-year loan and made it a 4-year loan to make the payments smaller. And then when the cars got more expensive, they made them 5-year loans. Then a little more expensive, 6-year loans, 7-year loans. I think now they have 8-year loans on cars. Just trying to keep the payments low so they can mask the fact of the huge price increases. Well, now we're going back to the well in housing. The average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage with conforming loan balances, that is $647,200 or less, increased to 5.37% from 5.2%, the highest rate since 2009. So interest rates are on the march. They're on the way up. So what are we going to do? This has got to be one of the if you are buying a house and planning on staying in it for a period of time, most people probably do that. Now, very few people, maybe there's people out there still trying to flip their houses because prices have been going up so high, but this is straight out of the 2007-2008 crisis. The adjustable rate mortgage share of applications last week was over 9% by loan count and 17% based on dollar volume. At 9%, the adjustable rate mortgage share was double what it was 3 months ago. So we are going to the adjustable rate mortgage, and you know what those are if you paid attention to the housing crisis or if you've been shopping for a house. It's essentially a low interest rate that's guaranteed to reset in a year, 2 years, 3 years. And in a rising interest rate environment, this means people are going out and buying homes because they want that small payment of the initial interest rate. The teaser rate really is what it is, with no plan. With no plan in a year, 2 years, or 3 years when that interest rate has to reset at market rates, and the trend of interest rates going up means people's payments are going to double, triple, just like they did in 2006, 2007, when we had an entire housing crisis based on adjustable rate mortgages. And we're going right back into it again. Applications to refinance a home loan fell 9% for the week and were 71% lower than the same week 1 year ago. So the idea of cash-out refinancing of homes, which has been a big driver of economic activity in the United States for decades and decades, we've seen magazine covers where they show a picture of a home looking like an ATM. Those things are grinding to a halt as people are not able to refinance now that interest rates have gone up higher than most people have financed for in the first place. So this is very interesting and yet ominous at the same time. Because it looks like we are set to replay the housing crisis. The stock market, too, had a couple of rough days. Let's check out and see where the markets are right now. Market Dow is barely budging. It's up 0.07%. NASDAQ down 0.04%. So the markets are pretty much treading water. But I believe the NASDAQ has now had its worst year opening, or possibly it was the worst month. I can't remember what the statistic was since. Anyone? 2009. That is not good news either. The economy is slowly grinding to a halt. And what happens if the housing market starts to succumb as well? So we've got some troubles ahead. And we'll see how that works. When I come back, though, I wanted to cover a story here. There's a story out about the incredibly shrinking middle class. This was done by Pew Research, how the American middle class has changed in the past 5 decades. And you can only imagine. And again, I'm going to tell you, constantly remind you, that it is the political class that has led to this, the middle class being the strength of any nation, and why America was so strong coming into the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And they give a particular date where they look backwards, a particular date when the American middle class started to be eroded and started to decline. We'll look at that date and scratch our heads and try to figure out what happened on that particular date. We'll do that when we come back. Stay with me. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Boy, I had to scramble to find a story on a website. It's like playing a video game trying to swat down all the pop-up ads on this thing. Holy cow. Some of these websites become absolutely unusable. My sympathies to people who are trying to monetize websites. They put a lot of work into them. This particular one has got a lot of news stories, a lot of interesting articles and stuff. But good grief. I mean, at some point, it becomes just absolutely unusable. Pew Research has done a study about the shrinking middle class, and particularly over the last 50 years. Now, I've been kind of a little bit of on a tear about this because, you know, this idea and a lot of older adults, and particularly conservatives, and you could include me to a degree in this, but we tell people tell the young people that they just need to work harder. I mean, this is just kind of the pat advice. And it's not bad advice. I mean, obviously, to achieve something and when hurdles come in your way, you've really got no choice. You can either succumb and become a Democrat waiting for the government to come into your house and wake you up in the morning, stroke your hair and tie your shoes for you. Or you just have to accept the reality of it. But the problem I have is that, you know, my father used to really think it was silly that I ate organic food. He didn't understand why I would pay more money because he would say things like, well, I never ate organic food and we were fine. And it was because my father did not understand. He slowly came to the realization over years and years. He didn't understand how drastically our food had changed since he was a younger man. And what he was eating theoretically back then was largely organic because it was more locally grown produce. I mean, my father was born in 1930. We didn't have the giant corporations that were shipping food from continent to continent, picking it, you know, coating it in chemicals, picking it early, letting it ripen on a truck instead of on the vine because it took, you know, 4 weeks for it to get to market in some big chain. He just didn't understand the change that had gone on with the food supply and why I thought it was important to adjust what I shop for and tried to find food similar to what he ate. So he didn't understand it. I think a lot of older adults do not understand that the game, the getting in the middle class, staying in the middle class, keeping your head above water has changed. And the idea of just telling young people, well, you just need to work harder. I made it so you can make it. And they just do not understand that the system has become horribly rigged towards the top. The inflation that you're seeing right now is not really even nipping at the heels of the uber wealthy that really were the beneficiaries of money printing that has led to this inflation. We are all suffering for it. Now, you can tell somebody, go ahead and work a little bit harder, but I mean, somebody would have had to have in the past year a 20% raise, and I would imagine this is going to continue for a while. They're going to have to earn 20% every year more just to tread water. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't know a whole lot of people that within their career kept making 20% raises, got advancement into management or whatever happened to increase their income by 20% a year. I doubt very many of us have ever experienced that for year after year after year. Yet that is what people are facing right now. The average home went up $77,000 last year. That's almost 20%. So I'll said it yesterday, I'll say it again now. Encourage your kids to work hard, to become unstoppable, because there's going to be a lot of hurdles thrown in their way. But you better stand ready to help. You better stand ready to help your kids and not judge them because they can't acquire the life that you acquired so easily. I got a college degree. I went out, I worked a job. I was responsible. I saved some money. You understand what has happened to healthcare costs and these kinds of things. My whole point being, just like my father didn't understand that the food supply had changed, most older adults, particularly the boomers, no offense, I'm a Gen Xer, I'm not far behind you, but the boomers do not understand what these kids are going through. You kind of threaded the needle, and now the kids that are left behind are the ones that are paying the price. This is from this Reuters story, and I want to just point this out because there's a date in here that I think is important. Now, they're looking at 50 years, and it may be a coincidence that they're just looking at 50 years. It's kind of a round number, you know. Let's look at 50 years. This is how the American middle class has changed in the past five decades. The middle class, once the economic stratum of a clear majority of American adults, has steadily contracted in the past five decades. The share of adults who live in middle-class households fell from 61% in 1971 to 50% in 2021, according to a new Pew Research Center analysis of government data. Now, I want to point out, while again, they might have just chosen this as a 50-year benchmark because 50 is half of 100. It's kind of a round number. We like good, solid round numbers. But what was it that happened in 1971 that could have started the cascading effects of people dropping out of the middle class, unleashing inflation, which made it harder and harder for people to stay in the middle class? The shrinking of the middle class has become accompanied by an increase in the share of adults in the upper income. I transposed that Freudian slip, the upper income tier. From 14% in 1971 to 21% in 2021. Now, that sounds like that's good news. Well, see that, Mike? People are moving from the middle class to the upper classes. But when you parse down those numbers, even in that top 1%, you find that the majority of the growth was in the top 0.01%. It wasn't so much people moving from the middle class into the upper classes. It was the tippy top of the upper class really stretching out that envelope. These changes have occurred gradually as the share of adults in the middle class decreased in each decade from 1971, there's that date again, to 2011, but then held steady through 2021. And now we are seeing the slide resume. 2011, we had actually a deflationary event, so inflation wasn't as much of a concern, but instead of allowing that to just take place and leaving it alone, they printed up endless amounts of money, which has led us to the inflation that we're seeing now. What happened in 1971 that put the first nail in the coffin of the middle class? Anyone? Anyone? That is when Nixon took us off the gold standard and made money printing with no safety rails whatsoever. Our currency didn't have to be backed by anything, and this unleashed initially the inflation of the 1970s, and then that went into the high interest rates and the crushing of inflation in the 1980s. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that, too. If there's any Trump supporters still listening to the show, I may run you off in just a second. I can't resist it. Before I get to that, though, one of my favorite authors, Charles Hugh Smith, he's got a thing that says, what is the standard for being in the middle class in the United States? And here's what he says it is. He says it's meaningful health care insurance. For example, not phantom insurance with a $5,000 deductible, etc., and life insurance. Now, I'd be very interested. I should take just an informal poll of my friends. I know a lot of people who are more entrepreneurial-minded, but even some people with big businesses. How many of you have insurance policies, health insurance policies, that you can even access at this point? Meaning that you don't actually ever use the policy because your deductible is so high. This has been a trend for a while, and a $5,000, $7,500, or $10,000 deductible is not unusual now, meaning you really only have catastrophic health coverage. You have no insurance for our doctor's office visits or the endless streams of medications you're on. He goes on to say, significant equity, 25 to 50% in a home or equivalent real estate, meaning that you own, that you've only have debt on 75 to 50% of your home, meaning you've got 25% equity in your home. Now, a lot of people may have achieved that with the increase in home prices at this point, if you were to go out and get your home valued. But how many people have, in a normal market, paid off 25 to 50% of their home? He goes on to say, income expenses that enable the household to save at least 6% of its income, significant retirement funds and 401ks, IRAs, etc., the ability to service all debt and expenses over the medium term if one of the primary household wage earners lose their job, and then a reliable vehicle for each wage earner. Now, when it comes to significant retirement funds, and the ability to service all debt and expenses over the medium term. If one of the primary household wage earners loses their job, I think the latest statistics were, 61% of Americans couldn't afford a $400 emergency. This is what's happened to the American middle class. And it has been death by a thousand cuts. There certainly are a million million ways to look back at it, but we just didn't notice that it was eroding. I bring all this up because I don't know. Something's happening with me where my sympathy for the younger generations is showing up a lot in this show, because I just look at this and think, you know, for people that were entering the middle class in the 19 or entering their working age life in the 1970s, even 1980s, you have no idea how much easier the path was for you to home ownership, to being in the middle class, to take your vacations, to save a little bit of money, to contribute to a 401k. You just have no idea how much easier that was for you then than it is now. And we judge this generation and call them lazy. They may give up. They may give up out of absolute despair if things continue to go. Look at all the people who've spent all this time fighting for $15 an hour minimum wage. Now, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with a minimum wage at all. You're going to get paid what you're worth. Make yourself worth something. You'll be paid better. But they spent years and years in this fight for 15 in many places and many states. I think businesses like Amazon and maybe even Walmart have embraced this fight for 15. They finally get the $15 an hour. You'd think the quality of their life would soar through the roof, yet the inflation has eaten away all of that and then some, and they're actually back with a lower standard of living than they were before they got the $15 an hour minimum wage. They got a huge raise, got a big, big raise on a percentage term, but actually lost purchasing power along the way. This is rough. We've had a chance a couple of times to stamp out this inflation, and one not so long ago. I'm going to play you a couple of clips about what the response was. We could have avoided what we're going through right now as far as inflation, because we know this is not a Putin price hike. This has nothing to do with Ukraine. This is the political class and the Wall Streeters' bed. They've made this for us, and now we are having to lie in it. But we had an opportunity just a few short years ago to tamp down inflation. I'll show you what the reaction was and why it didn't happen then, which means that's why it's so bad right now. I'll be right back. You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. We're the renegades, and it's atomic age. All right, we're gonna move into health related topics next hour, but I wanted to finish this up because I'm on a mission to explain inflation to people so they don't continue to vote for the same people that bring you inflation. It's weird to me. You know, there's so many things I can stand people not understanding, but you know, you're creating this world for my children, and I'd like them to have a chance. And so maybe we stop repeating the same mistakes. We had a chance. You know, the Fed is saying they're going to fight inflation now. They keep telling us it's transitory, it's coming down, don't worry about it. They told us it wouldn't get to this level. I've read you the headlines from just a couple of years ago, but they had an opportunity to slow down the money printing just a few short years ago. They started raising interest rates just a little bit. And this was the reaction, particularly from Donald Trump. And when I see these stickers on the gas pumps that say, I did that, the Joe Biden stickers on there, oh, it's cute. I know you got 10,000 of them and you love to put them up. It's a cute stunt and everything. But boy, it really misses the point. So when they started raising interest rates, which would have slowed down the money printing, could have stopped it altogether. You know, when Reagan came in office, inflation was raging. Reagan, it didn't make anybody really happy. He knew that the inflation was going to be a long-term problem, so he allowed interest rates. He had Paul Volcker in at the Federal Reserve, and they raised interest rates up to around 20%. Now, that sent the country into a big recession. It's not good for an incoming president, but he put up with it because he knew that long-term, and I'm sure he wasn't happy about the way things were playing out, but he didn't interfere, and Paul Volcker raised interest rates to 20%. When the Fed raised interest rates to about 2.5%, Donald Trump lost his mind.
This all really is going to impact the way that...
This is a clip from June of 2019, just a couple of short years ago.
The Fed is going to be performing and, of course, looking at the interest rate hiking or, you know, cutting cycle. We had President Trump criticizing Jerome Powell once again. Take a listen.
We had great numbers this morning. I think it was 224,000 jobs. Those were really unexpectedly good. And our country continues to do really well, really, really well. So we're very happy about it. I think we're going to be breaking records. If we had a Fed that would lower interest rates, we'd be like a rocket ship. But we're paying a lot of interest and it's unnecessary. But we don't have a Fed that knows what they're doing. So it's one of those little things. But if we had a Fed that would lower rates, you would have a rocket ship.
All right. So we've got 10.
So there you go. 2.5% was just too high for Donald Trump. He said the Fed doesn't know what they're doing. They could have slowed down what is happening now. He wasn't done. I mean, he went on a complete kind of a media tour every time he talked about this stuff. He wanted, and understand that what he means is he wants more money printing. The economy can do great, but they want him to keep printing money, which is why we have the inflation we have now.
And Trump doesn't seem to be as focused on the Hong Kong Stock Exchange this morning. Instead,
this is from September of 2019.
He is focused on the Fed once again and what should be done with interest rates and extending out our maturities. This is what he tweeted first thing this morning. The Federal Reserve should get our interest rates down to zero or less, and we should then start to refinance our debt. Interest costs could be brought way down while at the same time substantially lengthening the term. So he's structuring our debt or restructuring our debt here. I guess it would take care of his deficit problem.
Yeah, it's pretty. This is, I think this is the first time he's actually suggested that the Fed go to negative rates. Mm-hmm. There are some real questions among experts and commentators about whether the Fed could even legally do that.
And it certainly is insane. And I pointed out at the time that Trump was making these calls that that is decimating to the middle class. I'm sure I was roundly ignored. He was asked a question during this time when the stock market was still going down. And we know Trump put a lot of his pride. He wanted the economy to look good, so he wanted the stock market to look good. He constantly used the stock market as a barometer of how he was doing. So the stock market was going down. This is in the Oval Office. He was asked a question. He said, the stock market is going down. You know, what do you think the Fed should do?
Well, we're still up 40% for the period of time. So, I mean, the markets are way up over what they were. It's a correction that I think is caused by the Federal Reserve with interest rates. The dollar has become very strong, which, frankly, people can debate whether or not they like a strong dollar or not. The dollar's very strong, very powerful, and that causes a little difficulty with doing business, frankly. Strong dollar doesn't necessarily mean all good, but we do have a very strong dollar. And we have interest rates going up at a clip that's much faster than certainly a lot of people, including myself, would have anticipated. I think the Fed is out of control. I think
they... The Fed was out of control, he says. They raised interest rates to 2.5%. 20 years ago, that would have been considered an emergency level. But he thought they were just completely out of control by raising interest rates to 2.5%.
What they're doing is wrong. Under the Obama administration, you had a lot of help because they had very little interest. You know, when you talk about economies, our economy is far better than that, but we have actually, we're paying interest, and they weren't. They were using funny money.
And he, make no mistake, he's asking for his own funny money. He wants a funny money economy just like Barack Obama had.
But I think the Fed is far too stringent, and they're making a mistake, and it's not right. And it's, despite that, we're doing very well. But it's not necessary, in my opinion. And I think I know about it better than they do, believe
me. Mr. President, after what happened with Soyuz capsule?
No, I'm not going to fire him. I'm just disappointed at the clip. I think it's far too fast, far too rigid, far too fast.
And he ultimately got his way. The Federal Reserve saw that the stock market was going down. They retreated. They lowered interest rates. They took real interest rates. If you understand the difference between nominal and real, a nominal interest rate is whatever it says. You know, your savings account says it's going to pay you 1% a year. That's your nominal interest rate. The problem is when inflation is running at 8%, your real interest rate is a negative 7%. You're losing 7% of the purchasing power on your dollars. Donald Trump had an opportunity then to explain to the American people, look, this is going to hurt the economy because our economy has been hooked on debt. We're like junkies on debt and money printing. We cannot continue like this. Now, he said this during his campaign, which is one of the reasons I voted for him in 2016. But when he got into office and decided to place his entire value on the price of the stock market, the bubble that he called out also during his campaign. But when he got into office, he said, it's not a bubble anymore. Now it's real. I think we're finding out now that it was a big, fat, ugly bubble, and it just got bigger and fatter. But he had the opportunity to explain to the American people, I'm going to help wring out some of the excesses of this debt-based economy that we've got. Because if we don't raise interest rates, if we don't slow down the money printing or stop the money printing, we're going to see huge inflation. He had the opportunity to explain that to everybody, but instead he wanted to make sure that the stock market kept going up. He wanted to make sure that that he looked good. So all of the inflation that you're paying right now, keep sticking your little Joe Biden stickers on the gas pumps. I know that's fun for you, but it completely misses the point. And if you think reelecting this man in 2024 is going to do anything but bring more pain in terms of inflation, in terms of what happens to the middle class, the incredibly shrinking middle class, negative interest rates will be an absolute disaster. If Trump decides not to run, I'll probably leave him alone for a while. But until then, I'm going to make sure people really understand exactly what he could have done and instead what he did do. And Donald Trump, just in those three little clips right there, shows you he was a large part of the inflation that you're seeing right now. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and it's Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we take a turn into health-related topics and hump day health, natural health news you can use. My whole thesis of this show is really that people can reclaim their health. Your body's natural state is health. I think we've forgotten that. Too many of us think that this is just my lot in life. God gave me a defective body, so here I have to suffer through these things. Well, there's so many things that, you know, each of us face our own health challenges. Our bodies are all different. Some people have to work harder at certain things than other people do. But the bottom line is that your body is always trying to repair itself and get into health. And I think that nutrition is the thing that is really the missing piece in our medical system right now. We spend so much money on health care. I was talking last hour about the declining middle class, and I've got a story. I may finish it tomorrow. I was just talking about the health care costs that are associated now. And I was looking at it. I think it was saying about $15,000 a year in healthcare costs. I have not spent $15,000 over the last 16 years. Matter of fact, I doubt I've spent $1,000 over the last 16 years because I pay attention to the food. So when people say, well, I can't afford to eat organic, or I can't afford to do this, or, you know, it's just too expensive. That stuff's too expensive. If you're spending $15,000 a year on healthcare related costs, I think that food spending a few extra bucks to get a basket full of organic produce is probably not your problem. Anyway, this is what we talk about every Wednesday. I start off every show by explaining to you I am not a doctor, not a scientist, not a biologist. I'm not an immunologist, not a virologist, not a surgeon, not a nurse, not a therapist. I am absolutely nothing, in no way qualified to advise you on your health. I am just trying to bring you information that you can take and do your own research on it, and just empower you with the belief that your body wants to heal itself, and it's just up to you to put in a little bit of work to figure out how to do that. But while I am not a doctor, I do have a health care practitioner in with us today, and we've got Sunny Elmer with Integrated Health and Wellness Clinics here in Ridgeland. So, Sunny, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we've talked a lot about, and you've been in one time before. I wanted to bring you back in. Several listeners said to make sure that they knew when you were coming on. We've got a lot to talk about today, but one of the things I wanted to take a look at is what integrative medicine is as opposed to what is traditional now, which is just clinics. You go in, you tell them your symptoms, they prescribe you a pill based on those symptoms or a shot or something else, send you out the door. And it, you know, I look across the board at the last 30 or 40 years of Americans' health outcomes. it's not an encouraging chart. And I've got a lot of really good friends that are doctors in the medical field. I love them. They're very good people. And we get into debates, good-natured debates about things. And they get very dismissive sometimes of alternative approaches to health. They've bought into the what I call the cut, burn, and poison model, the pharmacological model. And what I tell them every time, and they really don't have, I say, well, just look at the health outcomes of Americans. I mean, you look at the rates of diabetes, you look at the rates of autism, of cancers, of autoimmune diseases, diabetes. Everything is trending in the wrong direction. I think the arrogance of the traditional medical establishment in this country right now, I don't think it's well justified right now. I mean, I think they could tone it down a bit on their authoritative stance on everything, because the health outcomes are not the trending in their favor. So there's a couple of other approaches, and I've talked about both on this show some before. One is integrative medicine and one is functional medicine. Mm-hmm. You guys fall into the integrative medicine category?
We do, yes.
Okay. Can you describe to us a little bit kind of what that means, what the difference might be between your clinic and other clinics in the area?
Sure. So integrated medicine is bringing that somewhat of a natural way of helping somebody in within the Western way of helping.
Right.
We're not completely against medications. Sometimes it requires pharmaceuticals to help.
Sure.
But we also have the alternative therapies as well. For somebody that comes in, say your hormones are off, you've tried a bunch of different synthetic medications, and we're there to say, hey, we have a natural way of helping that is a plant-derived natural hormone that they derived from plant cells.
As opposed to synthetic?
Correct.
Yeah.
All synthetic medications, and this is for any synthetic medication, you might get about 20% of actually what the dosage you're getting because it has to metabolize through your body. So just think of where everything else is going. And when you go towards your natural route, like you talk about diet and, you know, just what you put in your mouth to begin with, there's a lot of ways of treating things with just thinking about what you're ingesting.
Yeah.
So all these synthetic medications that you're ingesting have all kinds of side effects, you know, that can cause more damage than good of what you're trying to treat. And then you're like chasing your own tail because
right.
Now you have this side effect that you're trying to kind of figure out what's going on, you know.
Well, also, you know, if you don't treat the underlying cause and you're just addressing the symptoms through this pill, then whatever's going wrong inside your body is still it's still creating more damage.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do compare it to a car. You know, if you have a sound in your car and you just turn the radio up, well, that problem in the car has not gone away, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse the more you drive.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like it's, you know, we're ignoring the body's symptoms of the cause of a disease. You know, and I believe a lot of it is, you know, nutritional deficiencies. You also bring up a point, and I talk about this a lot, so I hate to be repetitive on this show, but it always kind of cracks me up. I had going into the 1930s, I'm not that old, but going into my 30s, I had a bunch of just chronic nagging conditions. I had chronic headaches, probably 20 days a month. I had anything from a severe headache to a nagging headache. I had horrible stomach problems almost on a daily basis. I had insomnia. I had restless leg. I got colds, flus, bronchitis, strep throat all the time. I just was constantly sick, and I thought it was just age. No doctor ever asked me anything about what I was eating. They would tell me, they would put me on a prescription and say, this tiny little pill that's about the size of the tip of your little finger is going to have a profound effect on your health. It's going to help us here. It's going to take care of this thing that you're complaining about. But they didn't pay attention. I mean, in retrospect, after I started, you know, kind of reading about things myself and what I consider waking up to it, they didn't pay attention to the other 3 pounds of stuff that I was putting in the same mouth going through the same digestive tract. They acted like that didn't have any bearing on anything whatsoever. It didn't even ask me about it. And so the idea that this tiny little pill has a profound effect on our health, but the rest of the things that we eat does not, is almost bizarre that they don't talk about that.
Right. And if anyone's ever noticed that when you are on the prescription medications that are given to you, every time you go back, you seem to have to go up in milligrams.
Right, right, right.
That's just increasing your ingestion of synthetic compounds because your body metabolizes it just like antibiotics. You know, it's everybody wants to be on an antibiotic. The second you have a sniffle, let me get an antibiotic.
Yes.
And nobody realizes, like, hey, your body becomes immune to all of this. So eventually when you actually may need something a little stronger, it's not going to work for you.
Right.
Instead of looking at what you're ingesting, kind of like common colds and flu, with your natural honey sources, you know, it's kind of all about treating from the bottom before you're just wanting to shove medications in your mouth. You know,
yeah.
It's
and I've had a lot of doctors on this show, doctors who have ended up kind of going the natural health route, but generally they're not in their 20s or even in their 30s. The doctors I've had on here that have gone in that, so you're well ahead of the curve because you're young. They're in their 40s, their 50s, their 60s, and almost every single one of them, a lot of times I'll have, when they put out a book, you know, it's generally when they want to be on radio. So they've come on and they've written a book about natural health stuff. And they'll say, you know, I practiced for 20 years. I never learned anything about nutrition, but I kept seeing my patients getting sicker younger. You know, they're starting to see Alzheimer's, which was, you know, dementia associated with elderly people. Suddenly it was happening in people's in their 50s and then their 40s and now their 30s. Mm-hmm. And so these doctors started looking at their patient demographics and saying something is, I'm not helping these people. Something is happening here. And they will come on this show and said, we had no training in nutrition whatsoever. Maybe an afternoon to discuss, you know, a list of what all the different vitamins and minerals are, but no association with how that affects different parts of your body. And there is a big connection. So it's been really stunning to me to realize that 3 pounds of food or whatever it is a day that we eat is just completely ignored by the medical establishment. And so all of these doctors with all these chronic conditions never ask me. I was drinking a 12-pack a day of Mountain Dew. I wonder why my stomach was having problems. I can't imagine. You know what I mean? And so looking back on it, it's so common sense now. And it's interesting that I even grew up into my 30s not realizing what a profound effect a bunch of junk and processed food and chemicals was having on my health. What do you see with your patients? Most of the people that come see you, are they looking for that natural thing? Is that why they're drawn to your clinic?
We do. We have a mixture. Of course, you have your ones that are, even though we have that mixture and we do have patients that do come in that are looking just for their refill of their medication, what we try to do is still ask them, you know, where did this stem from? When did this start? You know, has anything changed in your life as far as your diet or your emotional or physical health? You know, what has declined from there? And then there's a lot of times that you can come across things where, oh, okay, well, then it, you start realizing like, well, that medication probably isn't right for you. Have you tried to do this or have you tried to do that? So we do try to steer clear of, writing the synthetic prescriptions if we can. Of course we're still there and sometimes you do need it, you know, but we also, if we can decrease your dosage and then change up, you know, what you're doing in your personal life, we'll do that too. And we do a lot. We go from your, you know, your sexual wellness of taking, you know, the Viagra, you know, that's synthetic, to getting people completely off of it, to your natural common cold, allergies. We do IV infusions with all natural minerals and vitamins, like trace fives, B12, things your body actually needs to absorb that you are lacking because you're not feeling well. You know, instead of going, oh, I'm going to go take a vitamin C pill or a B12 from Walmart, it's a completely different substance. You're not actually taking B12. If you look on the back of that bottle and it doesn't just say B12 and it has like 20 other things in it, you're not getting B12.
Yeah.
You might get like a little pinch of it, but you're not getting what you need to heal your body.
Yeah,
putting a Band-Aid on everything.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about that because I'm very kind of interested in that. And I wanted to ask you one question. We got to take a quick break, but I'm curious to know, the one thing I have, I'm on this show, I'm pretty hard on, I'm hard on the medical industry in this country for sure. Always allowing for the fact that, you know, I have great friends that are, there are some great doctors out there, doctors that really care that just don't really know the connection between food and nutrition and health. And, you know, they just, this is just what they do. It's not that they're evil people or anything like that. But one of the sympathies I do have for the medical profession is that people really kind of demand these pills. Mm-hmm. They don't want to put in the work. So when you see patients and you explain to them, hey, we've got a pathway for you. If you will follow us here and take some recommendations and let's make some lifestyle changes for you, we can probably get you off this medication and get you back to functioning in good health. Is there a lot of pushback on that? I mean, are people willing to put in that work to do that?
You have the, well, I've tried that already.
Yeah.
But a couple weeks of trying it already not really, I mean, it's a whole lifestyle change in general, you know, so it's not like we're saying, hey, throw that in the trash can and do it this way. It's, hey, why don't you try to start doing it this way, see how you feel, and then maybe like titrate off of what you're taking, because everything can be controlled. Well, I don't want to say everything, but the majority of things wrong as far as your, you know, high blood pressure and, you know, some cases of diabetes can be controlled by diet and exercise.
Sure.
And like you said, a lot of people, it's too much or they're too busy. And by all means, I mean, we're not going to ever say and tell somebody like, you just can't do this. We're not doing this for you, because we're there to help regardless.
Right.
But we're also there to help you understand that there are other alternatives that are not just, hey, I have to take an insulin shot every day
for the rest of my life,
or,
with,
hey,
increasing doses of insulin,
I have to take this hypertension medication every day, you know. And there are some cases to where there are not, like, you have extremely good people in shape and good health overall that have these things, that sometimes you have to be on something of some sort.
Yeah.
But to maintain a lower dose, and I mean, I have a good personal experience with my son. He's severely bipolar. He has ADHD, and he was diagnosed with these things from kindergarten. And just over the years of doing my own studying and, you know, being in school for nursing and all that stuff, it's like you come across this information of, hey, if I would just change his diet,
yeah,
my son is going to be 17. And some kids that have been on Adderall on 60 milligrams at his age, because of their age and their weight, my son is still only maybe on 5 or 10,
yeah,
which is extremely unusual for somebody that isn't, like, to stay on the same dose on such a small amount. But take away the Pop-Tarts, take away, you know.
Yeah, the red dyes.
Right. And, yeah, and people think that's all hocus pocus. And just from experience, it's not. You,
yeah,
know, I'd rather keep good health and do the natural things, even though I know he does need also that Western medication. But if I can keep it on that lower minimum dose as possible, and the less synthetic I can put in his body, the better.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's with kids, it's especially difficult. I raised two twins and made the switch towards natural stuff. Luckily, pretty early in their life, they were five, mm-hmm, when I pretty much changed our diet. But there's so many good substitutes out now. You know, you can pretty much have darn near everything you want, taste-wise. You can get a Fruit Loop that is not covered in glyphosate now, because you can get organic Fruit Loops. Now,
right,
you know, we can argue whether or not the sugar is there, but if you want to at least get the chemicals out of your kid's food, you can replace it with an organic brand that is, mm-hmm, not covered in chemicals and herbicides and full of a bunch of other fillers. So it's difficult with kids, but probably not as hard as it used to be. So that's
right,
the good news.
Like you said, there's a lot of options now.
Yeah. All right, we got to take a break. We're talking to Sunny Elmer. She's with Integrative Health and Wellness. We're going to talk about the services they offer and how you can interact with them. This is a place that you can visit first. You know, if something is bothering you, this may be a first place to stop. Most clinics, I would say, kind of traditional clinics, you're probably going to get the same advice regardless of which ones you go into. This may give you a different approach how you handle your health going forward. So we definitely recommend you check them out. We'll be right back with Sunny. Stay with us. All right, we are back. We're talking to Sunny Elmer here with Integrative Health and Wellness here. Well, let's just go ahead and get to the nuts and bolts of part of this is, where are you guys located? How long have you been around?
We started 2 years ago on the coast in Biloxi, and then we opened the clinic here in Ridgeland last August.
Yeah, so you're very new. Patient mm-hmm. count growing as people get to know you.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, this is the way. I think I've seen more. COVID was a big one to me. Mm-hmm. I think for waking a lot of people up to a whole host of things. One is, and I know y'all, I'm speaking for me here. What appears to be the massive corruption of the pharmaceutical industry, you know, people are just kind of looking at these companies and just saying, you know, when they start censoring alternative treatments across the board on this stuff, and then, you know, everything is guided towards a pharmaceutical product and they've made tens of billions of dollars. I think a lot of people are kind of going, this doesn't seem quite right when there's a lot of other, you know, treatments and medications that might have worked just as well. Other pharmaceutical medications in particular. But I think people are awake to that. I think COVID should have been a wake-up call, and I really wish health authorities and people in charge would have made it a priority to say, look, now is the time to get your health in check. This, we are seeing now that the people that are the sickest among us, I mean, diabetics had a bad problem with COVID. There were all kinds of pre-existing conditions that are lifestyle generated a lot. This is a time for people to get into shape. I think people's approach to medicine is different, particularly people who didn't really buy into all of the COVID theater, I'll put it that way. And mm-hmm. so I think they're open to something, and I'm thrilled to hear that you guys are growing, because I think people are going to start looking for ways to stay healthy as opposed to just waiting for something to break down, get mm-hmm. a pill for it, waiting for the next thing to break down, get another pill for it. And before you know it, you got 8 bottles that you're taking every night full of the side effects and the expense of that.
Correct. Right.
Yeah.
I agree. And there's a lot of things to do too. I mean, just from experience with patients, experience with family, friends, with COVID going around, I've noticed a lot in general. This is speaking from personal. A lot of the patients or family that I've seen that have come down with COVID, that have tested positive. I mean, these are people that are extremely exhausted, that aren't taking care of themselves as far as your mental health, physical health, really, because, I mean, when you're just bogged down from just being extremely tired, that you're not taking the supplements that you would need to take or doing the things or ingesting the things that you need to do in order to keep your vitamin C levels higher, your vitamin D. I think those are the people that you see going down a lot faster.
Yeah. Well, our immune system just gets wrecked by the standard American diet. Mm-hmm. It's horrible. I mean, it's why the rise of disease is our diet. I mean, and, you know, human body has not changed in the past 100 years, but our health outcomes have.
And personally, I mean, I can say that I'm one of those people. Sometimes I just don't have time. I don't have time to rest. I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. And then it hits you and you're like, oh, no, I knew what I needed to do, but I just said I didn't have time. And then you are 3 to 4 days just trying to then recover from it and take what you need to take to, like, get yourself better. And those people, though, that do that as well, it's when you are sick and if you do get COVID, it is about, again, changing your diet during that time frame too, of you boost back a lot quicker.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people weeks out, and I mean, from personal experience, 3 to 4 days, and you could, you know, if you're doing the right things, you could be.
I remember when I first started studying this stuff, I still had, like I said, my kids were 5 years old, and I realized that, you know, dairy and sugar were not good for kids that were having sniffles and were getting colds or even ear infections, that sugar can help feed these infections and those kind. And I just, you know, I started cutting off sugar the second I realized my kids were coming down with something, and they knew it. They knew they were not getting any sugar. And if they were real mucousy, they were not going to be having any dairy or anything. And it was just amazing how quickly and brief these things were, as opposed to what we had seen before, which was, you know, ear infection is 2 weeks of antibiotics and all that other stuff. We were able to curb a whole lot of things by changing the nutrition when people got sick. And I will say, rest is probably one of the hardest things for all of us. Every time that I've gotten, like, even a tickle of something, like I could feel something was coming on, mm-hmm. was always after several days. Yes. I was traveling. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, I was probably partying a little bit, and I can be a late night person. Mm-hmm. Like, if I'm out and having fun, I'll stay out till 2 or 5 a.m. And when I get run down, I can definitely feel myself starting to get susceptible to something. I immediately get some rest. I make sure I double up on my supplements. I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think exhaustion is a big part of people's problems.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And we offer, we just started offering IV infusions. So if you feel like you don't have the time, these infusions could be anywhere between 30 minutes an hour, depending on what infusion. It's all natural mineral vitamin based. Your vitamin B12 complexes. Again, it's not the synthetic compounding. Your natural vitamin sources. There's no color, dyes added, or anything into it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you can do it. It all depends. Your consult's free. You can come in. Our IV infusion nurse will talk to you, discuss all of your symptoms, which bag is the best for you, what vitamins are better for you to use. It's usually every week to once every 4 weeks, just depending on what you're getting. This is something that'll help as well. If you just don't have the time to every day say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to take that, you know, just come see us and we can help you out.
So you can go in and talk to somebody there and say, you know, I've got insomnia, my skin isn't great, mm-hmm. I'm always tired, I don't have any energy. You just kind of run down what your symptoms are, and you're putting together natural bags of vitamins and minerals, mm-hmm. and all kinds of things to address kind of what their problems are to boost their and you know, that's another thing too. I think energy, when we're talking about rest itself, sleeping at night and, you know, not being under stress, the energy during the course of the day, I don't think a lot of people understand what it feels like to really feel good, particularly as they get older. Most everybody, I think, just thinks you hit your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, you know, this is just what it's like. Mm-hmm. I'm always exhausted. Oh, by the time I get home from work, I'm so tired. You know, after I eat lunch, I really need a nap. You know, that kind of feeling. It doesn't have to be that way.
No. And it's a lot about hydration. I mean, women slap on beauty creams all day long. You don't know what's in it. They don't work over the counter. There are some good products out there that do help. But the main thing that is happening when you're putting these creams on is hydration. And if you hydrate from the inside
that's
when you see people that drink a lot of water, and you want to know, why is your skin always so smooth, always so bright? It's because people are hydrated, and hydration is a big deal a lot of times with almost every aspect. You know, when you drink a lot of water, you boost up a little bit. You know, you don't feel as lagged when you're hydrated. So we do offer like hydration bags as well, like to rehydrate your body.
Yeah.
It's a big deal to be hydrated from the inside out.
Yeah. Inside out. That is exactly right. We're talking to Sunny Elmer. She is with Integrative Health and Wellness Clinic out in Ridgeland. We're going to talk more about the services they offer and how they work with your body to repair itself. And as I say, I think this is the future. You need to check them out. We'll talk about their website, how you can get in touch with them, and where they're located when we come back. Stick around. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB, and we're talking to Sunny Elmer with Integrative Medical and Wellness Clinics. Sunny, what are you? What is your position there?
So I'm the district manager. Also, I have a year left of nursing school to get my bachelor's in nursing. Okay. And I've taken some nutrition classes as well, so I have a little knowledge in the nutrition aspect.
Right. So if, you know, we've talked a lot, and we're going to talk a little bit more about some of the specialized stuff that you guys do. We'll talk a little bit about, you do work with pain, your knees, mm-hmm. and things like that. So we want to get into that. We've talked a little bit about the IV therapies that you offer. And your website, everybody can see everything that's offered on this.
IMAWC.com.
Yeah,
IMAWC.com.
Okay. You know, there's a mnemonic device I have in my head for your thing, and then every time it starts to come out of my mouth, I freeze on it. But anyway, so they can see what all your services are. You know, you mentioned something earlier. You talked about Viagra. It was so quick that Americans obviously were suffering from some kind of a physical problem that was manifesting itself as disappointment in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. And we've never, ever looked at what that might be that started happening with men, that as they got older, they couldn't perform. they just threw out a pill there and it took off. I mean,
right.
You want to talk about a blockbuster drug for Pfizer, and I guess other companies have got their pills too, but Viagra is the big one. That is one of those things where, you know, people just assumed, okay, they fixed this problem. Never stop and ask the question, why are so many men having problems, you know, mm-hmm. in the sack? They threw out a pill there and everybody took it up and ran with it.
Right.
Yeah.
And a lot of people and a lot of men that we speak to that were used to taking it on a regular basis, it stops working. You know, it doesn't have the same effects as it did when they first initially started taking it. There are certain rules that you have to do, and to be able to take it for it to work, and you got to take it a certain amount of time before and not eat this or not eat that or drink this. And it's just like, at that point, then why take it? You know, when
kind of kills the spontaneity.
It kills the spark and the mood. And, you know, then, you know, the significant other is like in bed already tucked away. And
yeah, wouldn't it be nice to free yourself from all of the rules and regulations and side effects of sex and just be able to enjoy time
right.
with your partner because you're in good health? So y'all do sexual wellness at
the
clinic.
We do.
Is that a good chunk of your business?
It is we're getting there.
Yeah.
I think,
it's gotta be a lot of hesitation for people to go into any office and have that discussion.
It is. And that's kind of where that is. And we're very discreet. All you have to do is call and request a free consultation. You don't have to necessarily, if you're like, you just don't want to say it's for this, just say, hey, I would like a free consultation to discuss your treatment options.
Yeah.
And we could put you on for a free consultation. The time limit's the same for everything. We don't necessarily rush anything. And then you can speak to one of our medical, it's the same two people at each clinic that do the free consultation. So it's not like you're going to see a bunch of faces. And typically they're in the same treatment room as your provider. When it comes to sexual wellness, I think it's more of people being very embarrassed about that when there's really nothing to be embarrassed about. I mean,
well, obviously we're talking about a pill that is just a blockbuster. This is obviously something that is affecting a whole lot of men out there,
right.
and women too, I guess. You know, there's pills for women now too.
Right, there is. And fortunately for women, the pill that's out there, it takes 3 months to even start working. It's not a terrible thing. It's not as quick as the Viagra. But it does. It takes 3 months for it to start working for women. They say it's really
good.
Now,
did a woman develop that and deliberately put in that long lag time so they could fend off a man and tell him, hey, I'll see you next quarter.
Right. Yeah. We'll discuss it again in 3 months. but what we do is we keep it very, very simple. And that's the good part about us too. You come in and we're going to discuss things from the ground up. We don't start with, hey, yes, you're a candidate for this treatment. Let's get it done. Let me take your money. Let me do this treatment for you. I can't tell you how many men that have come in that I've talked to that I'm like, hold on. This is really what the problem is. You need to do this first. And then if we're still having a problem, then you're a candidate. So it's not like you're going to come in and we just push it on you.
Yeah.
Because we want to figure out, because the last thing we want is for somebody to come in, have a treatment done, walk out of our door after their sessions are over and say, this didn't work.
Right, right.
I'm going to go tell everyone this didn't work. They didn't have my best interest in mind, because we do. So we'll do everything we can from the beginning to make sure that what we're doing for you is something that is going to work for you, that's good for you. We'll give you our honest answers of like, hey, you know, the treatment could be anywhere between 60% effective to 100, like 90% effective, but this is where it is probably going to be for you, considering your conditions,
yeah,
or
basic, and
you know,
else.
Like diabetes plays a role in erectile dysfunction, hypertension does, the type of medications that you're on. So sometimes we talk about, hey, have you talked about switching this to that, or have you done this already, or you know, have you had your hormones checked? So we have an extent of questions that we talk about. We do get personal and kind of in depth with patients.
Well, you have to. Everybody
right.
is so different.
Because we don't want somebody to just come in and say, yep, this is what you need. Go lay down on the table. And you're leaving out the door going, well, what do I expect?
Yeah.
Is this, you know? So we make sure that what we offer you is exactly what you need. And it's, you know, you're going to leave with a lot of knowledge.
Well, you know, that's interesting. You know, you mentioned in this particular instance, so you can have medications, and we're talking about sexual wellness, but this would go across all kinds of different things you're seeing, that you may be taking a prescription that is causing another problem. Mm-hmm. And when you actually sit down with somebody and look at all of them and you say, okay, well, this, you know, you're telling me you've got this problem, but you're taking this drug for this other problem, and one of the side effects of that could be this. Mm-hmm. Why don't we work on this other problem? If we can fix that nutritionally or by giving your body what it needs to heal itself and get you off of that drug for that problem, you may find this problem actually goes away.
Absolutely.
So it's almost like untying a knot, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot of people to try to figure out what to pull on first. The bottom line, though, is what I saw with my health and what I've seen with a lot of people who have gotten into this, they start pulling at that knot, and what happens is that they want to address something. Maybe it's for their insomnia, or it doesn't even matter what it is. So they start eating a little bit better. Well, suddenly, you know, they wanted to get more energy. Well, they get that, but also their skin starts to clear mm-hmm. up too. You know, it's like they start seeing all of these different things, kind of the tension be removed of them by mm-hmm. these lifestyle changes. I think it's very encouraging because it encourages people to keep on going. But you have to know. I mean, you really have to know what all is going on with a person. And the most difficult thing about health, and particularly natural health, we're all different. I've enjoyed doing the ketogenic diet. I've got friends who have done it, and they felt fantastic, and they loved it. They dropped a bunch of weight, and it looked great. I've had other friends that, oh, that was not for me. Mm-hmm. And I don't say, oh, you didn't do it. I say, yeah, it's different for everybody. So there's some experimentation. But you have to really get to the root of each individual. And
that absolutely
makes it more of a challenge, mm-hmm. yeah. So you do the IV treatments. Real quick, let's talk about, you do a lot for pain too there, don't you?
We do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What are y'all doing there that's different on pain?
So we have something this is geared toward knee patients. And we do have something else as well. So I'll start with the treating of the knees. You'll go to the doctor and they're like, oh, you need to have a knee replacement. A knee replacement is extremely painful.
Yeah.
We have patients come in that are like, they did one knee and they just are like, I refuse to get the other knee done. I am not getting the other knee done. What can you do to help us out? Now, we can't treat the knee that's already had the knee replacement. It's hyaluronic acid. It's an injection. And it's something your body already produces.
Right.
And it is just hyaluronic acid. It's called Genvisc. A lot of patients will say, well, isn't that similar to the rooster cone shots? In a way it is, but this is a newer one. It's not newer. It's been out for a long time, but it's one that your insurance companies try not to cover. Genvisc has a very good span of a lasting rate than your other ones.
This is to kind of help your body lubricate the joints. Is that how it's working? What does the hyaluronic acid do?
So with osteoarthritis, because that's what it is, it has to treat the osteoarthritis. A lot of people, that's where the knee pain comes from. You start losing that, I call it the eraser. You know, you start using an eraser because your joints are rubbing together and that, you know, the eraser goes away.
Right.
So then you're bone on bone. So it's a gel substance that gets injected into the joint space. So it replaces that eraser that was already rubbed off.
Yeah.
And it lasts anywhere between 2 to 5 years.
Wow.
It really depends on the severity. So if you're coming in and you're already at the severity level to where your doctor's telling you need a knee replacement, we still are going to help. We can still help fix that. But you may go from somebody that is like moderate, that only needs the 5 injections, and then it lasts for the 2 to 5 years. Or you could be somebody with a severity level that you get your first initial set of injections and you come back in 6 months. And if you're having even the little bit remnants of, hey, I'm still having a little bit of pain here, we do another medical necessity to your insurance company, and we could put a little bit more in that joint space. And sometimes that's needed.
So do you see people that come in that were facing a surgery and they try it and they don't end up having to have the surgery?
Yes. Yeah. We have people that have come in with walkers, canes, that have left even after the third treatment, not needing that anymore, or not needing the assistance of their significant other, family member helping them through the door or walking them back to the exam room, that they have a lot more mobility, a lot more movement, free movement. And we also have something that if you're not a candidate for the gel injections for the knees, or we don't do it for the elbows or shoulders or the entire body, it's a Hockamed treatment. It looks, the best way to explain it, it looks like a very big TENS unit, but it's not a TENS unit. If you get the little black box, goes on the skin, you get a little bit of like, you feel it a little superficially. This is, it goes deeper into your, it goes deeper to your nerve endings. And we have a lot of patients that we can treat with diabetes that doesn't have any feeling or that have that just weird sensation from the diabetes in their feet. Or just in general, your pain, and it opens up the nerve endings. And we have patients that are like, come start going, well, I didn't feel anything the first couple of treatments, and now I'm feeling a little bit of, and that's the whole point. You know,
it's just,
it doesn't cure anything, but it is something that is there for you. That is not pain medication.
Right.
It's not anti-inflammatory medication that can damage, you know, kidneys, liver, and all that if you take too much of it. This is something that you come in once a week or twice a week, 10 to 15 treatments, typically covered by your insurance, as long as the medical necessity is there. And then if they want to recover it, we can do up to 25 treatments in a session.
Yeah.
You take a little break, and then we can reevaluate in like 2 months, 2 to 3 months, and possibly do another session.
Okay. All right. So pain, definitely. If you've got pain issues, Integrated Medical and Wellness Clinic in Ridgeland, need to check them out. We got to take one more break. We're going to come back, let everybody know how to get in touch with you.
Okay.
Talking to Sunny Elmer with Integrative Health and Wellness. We'll be right back.
Citizens from all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment here. We're talking to Sunny Elmer. Sunny, we got like 30 seconds left. I've robbed us of time. We could talk for forever. Tell us how to get in touch with Integrated Medical and Wellness Clinic.
All right, just give us a call at 769-300-9040 and just ask for your free consultation.
And the website again?
www.imawc.com.
All right, and you're located in Draperton Drive there in Ridgeland. Sunny, thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it. We will have you back. Treat people from the inside out. That's what I like to hear. All right, to everybody else, we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye. You can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.